book of Numbers, chapter number 14. We'll go from there to complaining, all right? That's what Numbers 14 is about. Numbers chapter 14, let's stand. We're going to read the first five verses and skip down and read something else here. Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Remember, they just came back from the 12 spies, you know, and they heard the report of the evil spies and the good spies. But here they are weeping and whining over what they're getting ready to do. And verse number 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And therefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt, into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. So they're getting ready to elect a new leader and run away. Okay. Verse 5, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And God's been watching the whole time. Look at verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shown unto them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And of course, Moses stands there and says, Lord, don't hurt them. They'll, you know. And if you skip on, let's go to the next chapter real quick, and we'll flip over, and it does happen. Number 16, verse 3, here we are again. They have a little bit of grace. God gives them some mercy, but look at verse 16, chapter 16, verse 3. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. We're going to talk today about the seven calamitous cliffs of complaining. All right, that's a tongue twister. Here we go, ready? Seven reasons God hates complaining. Seven reasons God, it's the simplified version, but the seven calamitous cliffs of complaining, how to stay away from them, what they are, and of course the children of Israel, known for their complaining, and here we see two illustrations of that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening. Lord, we got a church that loves you, and Lord, these folks in here, they want to hear from you. They don't want to be found in a situation like this. Lord, none of us desire to be here. None of us desire to be in a situation like the children of Israel. Lord, we don't want to go through heartaches, but also we definitely don't want to be rising up against you and going against your will. So tonight I ask for a spirit of humility among our church people. I ask for myself, Lord, that you'd help me to keep a clear mind and heart. Please be with me as I speak and preach tonight. But Lord, I also pray that going forward this week we would Lord, we would watch out for these pitfalls in our own life. Lord, in our conversation, our day-to-day work, the things that we'll do this week. Lord, help us to stay away from this sad sin of complaining. Lord, it's so easy to fall into and sneak into, and it creeps up on us. But I pray that we would take heed tonight and keep our hearts and minds right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Next to the sin of pride, complaining is probably one of the worst sins that you could have. We've all been there. We've all done this. It's on the list of, we would call them silent killers, right? Whether verbally spoken or quietly muttered in our hearts, it's one of the most dangerous and detrimental sins to the plague the body of Christ today, and for really all of time. It is on the list of acceptable sins. You know what I'm talking about, right? Acceptable sins. Oh, it's not as bad as drinking and fornication and adultery and rock music, but acceptable. It's okay to complain, you know, a little bit. It finds its way even into the most faithful of God's children. The best bus captain, the best assistant pastor, the best church member, the best deacon, whatever it is, it finds its way there. Right. And if you're not careful, it'll be a silent killer of many in ministry and a stunt to any underkicking we're about ready to do. Yet we all find ourselves here, the moment where we can decide, are we going to complain about something? And you know, the truth is, we've been there, right? You've heard this saying, well, I'm just saying, okay? Usually, I'm just saying is a reason, right before somebody says that, they put that and then they say something, okay? Usually, it's a little bit complaining, all right? Is it always, listen, we're going down this path, we're going to see what the Bible has to say about this, because sometimes you and I, if we separate ourselves a little bit from the biblical principles, we can justify a lot of things, All right. Well, it's not really complaining. He's just pointing something out. All right. Well, be careful about that. All right. That's what the children of Israel were just doing. But here, you know, in the South, it's bless your heart. You know, I'm just saying, you know, well, I suppose whatever you say, you can't just say whatever you want after that. The truth is we do hear often, you know, we have nothing to complain about. And that's true. We don't. All right. But we often still complain. Okay. The children of Israel, I know they found themselves in some rough spots, but the truth is, they didn't have to complain. They didn't. And you say, well, sometimes it's hard not to, and what about the acceptable times? Brother Young, aren't there times we're supposed to go to God? And by the way, I looked at the word complaint, complaining, and all the other words about it in the Bible, and I did found some times. Listen, I found some times in the Bible where I was like, Lord, this guy has every right to complain. And he does, okay? And I'll point some of those out to you today. But I want to show you the difference because, you know, there are some pitfalls in this matter of complaining. In fact, there's some famous people who have some quotes I wrote down about complaining. Mr. Theodore Roosevelt, I like some of his sayings. Complaining about a problem without posing a solution is called whining. That's what he said. We would worry less. Here's some Harry Ironside said, we would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. So complaining. Charles Spurgeon said, as long as a man is alive and out of hell, he can't have any cause to complain. Right. Amen to that. Sure. Hey, listen, one guy said, is the glass half full or half empty? Just be thankful you have a glass, all right? And that's true, because sometimes we complain about one or the other, but let's just be thankful for the fact that we even have a glass of water to drink, okay? Elizabeth Elliot said, contentment, which would be the opposite of complaining, right, is a command. It's really taking yourself by the scruff of the neck and behaving yourself when you're feeling discontent about anything. And the truth is, folks, you know, we could all sit here and we could give illustrations and stories. And the truth is we can compare our lives, which, by the way, isn't always a wise idea. Go listen to the Bible on that. Be careful about comparing yourselves to each other. You know, I could look at your situation and your situation and I could complain about mine. But the truth is, I'm not supposed to be doing that. Let's just go to the Bible and find out what it says. So I'm going to give you seven reasons why God hates complaining, but the negative thing associated with this, but we can't stay there. We definitely have to finish with something positive. Number one, I do want you to know this. Complaining is the opposite of thanksgiving. Complaining is the opposite of thanksgiving. If you study through the Bible, never once, just like pride, never once is really complaining put in a positive light. There are a few more instances. You know, you go study the Bible and the word pride, there's never anything good said about it. If you read through the Bible and you see somebody like Job, you know, where they talk about his complaint, well, we wouldn't say those are necessarily bad. The man was in physical pain. He was being tormented. We're going to look at Job in just a minute. But the truth is, if you study out through Job and you read the rest of it, he did always give thanks to who? To God. You know, you go to the Psalms and there's some complaining, if you will, there. All right? There's some pain. There's some looking at God saying, Lord, why? But the truth is, the psalmist doesn't ever end there. He always praises and thanks the Lord. And complaining is in our life, in my life, in your life, is the opposite of thanksgiving. You could know Philippians 4:11. That's a very common verse. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am. That means wherever I am on today's life, whatever happens to me today, okay, therewith to be what? Content. Hey, I know both how to be abased and how to abound, and everywhere in all things I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hey, listen, complaining is the opposite of that. It's the opposite of that. Paul didn't have a complaining spirit. He had he knew how to abase and bound with satisfaction, with contentment. Hey, thanksgiving. He gave thanks to the Lord. You know, pray without ceasing and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So here in this story, we found the children of Israel complaining, and we're going to look at some other folks in the Bible. But number one, I want you to know, complaining is exactly opposite of being thankful. Okay? You show me a student that comes into school complaining about something, and you know a good way to challenge this, parents, teachers, you know, Sunday school teachers, look at them and say, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? Right? Listen, this message isn't just for you. This is for me. In fact, actually, this came out of a place where I'll be honest with you. Within the last 7 days, Well, probably you've complained about something too, okay? But I mean, I land blasted, caught myself, and I'll just give my wife credit for calling me out on it, all right? Guys, hopefully your wife can call you out on it. Because, hey, have we ever complained something before? Yeah. And you know what the most dangerous thing for her is? For me to go home and just complain to her all the time. Boy, that's a dangerous spot, okay? And I know, she knows, and we can talk about stuff, and there is a difference. You know, parents, you know, moms and dads, you have to work as a team. And there's times I'm going to have something I need to talk about with her, and we're gonna have intense fellowship, all right? Maybe not against each other, but, I mean, about something that maybe annoys both of us. But watch it. It annoys both of us for a reason. And a lot of it has to do with whoever brought that complaint at the table. And are we gonna keep it there and just both complain about it now, or are we going to, you know, treat this the right way? Well, we could start by thanking the Lord for all the things that have gone right. Amen. Instead of complaining about all the things that went wrong. Hey, listen, you're guilty of it too. When somebody walks in, how you doing today? Well, not very good. Okay. Hey, you know what? That oughtn't be the first thing out of your mouth. Amen. I'm guilty of that. I get to sit there at the door most Sundays and greet folks and say, hello, how are you? And guess what? Every once in a while, especially with certain ones of you, and this isn't your fault, this is me. But you ever met that person you have a certain way of communicating with, all right? You're maybe a little bit different or a little bit smarter with them or whatever, you joke. Well, I've been guilty before of, you know, making a joke. And you know what? At some point, it comes across negative. It comes across like a complaint if we're not careful. Hey, listen, just go to the Psalms. For this point here, listen, go to the Psalms. The psalmist does complain. You'll look up the word complaint. You'll find it in the Psalms. And he talks about, you know, his agony and things he's going through. But if you'll read through that at the end, every single psalm, there's a whole list of them. At the end of those psalms, always, 100% of the time, he gives praise and thanks to God. Amen. Always. He may come to God. By the way, I'm thankful that I can come to God with my complaint. Okay? But there's a word, we're going to get into the word complaint. But complaint doesn't mean I'm treating this wrong to God, because, by the way, if I come to God with my complaint, but I leave with that same complaint, and we've never come to a point of thanksgiving, then He's not listening to my complaint. Okay, He does care about it. Listen, if my kids come to me and whine about something, they don't get it if they continue just to whine. Does that make sense? Yes. Hey, listen, if I come to God and say, God, 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 please, this is not fair, you don't get the answer you should get. He's not going to help you like He wants to. If that's your attitude towards it. So be careful that you don't fall into this. Number one, this is the first trap. This is really the first cliff. Okay, if we had like an ascending of cliffs, thankfulness, you know, an unthankful spirit is the first thing to happen. All right, number two, complaining poisons your attitude and it affects the people around you. Okay, think about the people in the Bible that were complainers. Okay, Ahab was a whiner. All right, that affected the people around him. Now, he was an unsaved, ungodly man. And he never got over it. But the truth is, that affected his kingdom. Yep. Hey, listen, Saul was that way a little bit. There's other people in the Bible that if they never dealt with it properly, it usually ruined their life. And so you got to be careful in our church, in our home, and in your place of service. Listen, I'll just tell you the personal illustration. Ready? If I was frustrated about something and I come to my wife and tell her my frustration, it never helps. It doesn't actually help unless she wants to give me the Bible reason for it. Hey, we should not do that. Listen, that's what you should do. Your proper response to a complaining person is to point them to what the Bible wants them to do. Okay? Because sometimes we all need reminding of that. But listen, I'll just be honest with you. When I'm frustrated, if I complain about it, it doesn't make me less frustrated. It makes me more frustrated. Right. Hey, if I'm angry about something and I complain about it, it doesn't make me less angry. It makes me more angry. Right. Okay? And the truth is, if you'll stop and think about your actions, you're the same way. That's human nature. But here in the Bible, we find that, you know what? This poisoning is dangerous. Okay? People can tell when you walk into church. They can tell by your face. Not all the time. Some people are really good complainers, all right? You ever seen the person that can complain with a smile on their face? You know? They're the same people that say, bless your heart, and, you know, I'm just saying. You know, and then usually say something they shouldn't say. Yeah. Hey, God knows. God knows. Now I'm looking around at you, some of you, and going, oh boy, in the last 10 days, we've had a conversation that we probably regret, all right? Hey, listen, I'm just going to come to you honestly. Listen, sometimes we are very guilty of disguising complaining within the church. hey, brother, I mean, you know, if I wish it wasn't this way. I mean, bless God, VBS is the same every year. And, like, you know, this thing always goes wrong. Hey, whoa. You know what that is? Disguised complaining. Your opinion sometimes. Listen, opinions can be disguised as complaining. Be careful about those. All right? Hey, listen. There's a verse in Matthew 18:6. We won't go there. But it talks about being a stumbling block. So the idea of poisoning your church congregation is this. You know, it talks about if you offend one of these little ones, it'd be better if the millstone was around your neck. I understand some of the context for that verse, but the truth is we can become a stumbling block to all kinds of people. And one of the most vulnerable groups of people to our adult complaining is those little kids.
Yes, sir.
So you better be careful and watch. It's the opposite of Thanksgiving. So you're not going to have thankful kids. And also you're going to poison your attitude and the people around you. Okay. Number three. Complaining reveals a lack of trust in God. Complaining reveals our lack of trust in God. Go to Exodus chapter 12. Flip over a few pages there. Exodus 12, chapter 12. We're going to look at two other times that the children of Israel. Oh, I'm going past it. Genesis, Exodus. Going the wrong way. Exodus chapter 12. Chapter 14, verse 12. Exodus 14, 12. You know, the children of Israel, they've already... God's led them so many ways. He had a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud and so many directions for the children of Israel. And they would go through times of, okay, we're following God's directions. And then, of course, we know they would go through times of backsliding and complaining, okay? Even in the best situation. Man, God gave them manna every day, satisfied their every need. And guess what they did eventually about that? Complained about it. Wow, we're sick of this manna, you know? Hey, listen, be careful that you don't fall into that trap. One of the cliffs of complaining is it reveals our lack of trust in God when we complain about certain things. In Exodus 14, 12, the children of Israel said, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better," here they go again, "for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." You know, if you stop and think about what they're saying, it would be better if we were all the way back there. If we had to retrace all of our steps and go into slavery again, that would be better than death. That's complaining. Go over one more chapter, chapter 16, just a page or two over. Verse number 3. "And the children of Israel said to them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord." Now they're complaining. That's over here they complained about Egypt. Now they're wanting God to have killed them. These people are messed up. Hey, are we like that sometimes? Yeah, we are. All right. "In the hand of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." All right. You know, you notice one of the big problems here is they're really just selfish. Okay. It's why pride, selfishness, and complaining all hang out together in the same room. Okay. So here we find complaining reveals our lack of trust in God. What does Romans 8:28 say? "And we know." We should know, right? "That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Hey, God does have a plan. He does have a purpose. He controls it. Listen, here's how we defeat this argument of, well, you know, there's good complaining, there's bad complaining. Sometimes things go wrong and we can't help them, so we got to complain a little bit. Go study the book of Job. I'm going to read you some verses from Job. Didn't he have every reason to complain? He did. Look, in fact, actually, if you type in the word complain, if you look it up in your concordance, if you find on a computer, you'll find more words of complaint and complaining in the book of Job than any other book besides Psalms. Okay? Job 7, "Therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. When I said, my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint." Boy, that's a funny verse. He says, I'm going to go to bed and hopefully get some relief from my problem. But I can't even sleep in my bed. I got to go sleep on the couch. And maybe it can help me. You know what? He had a lot of reasons to complain. If I say I will never complain, I'll leave my heaviness. The word complaint is so many times. "As for me, is my complaint to man? And if it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning." Hey, listen, some people wake up and that's like their whole attitude all day. All right? "Even today is my complaint bitter." Okay. Now, those people are usually, listen, folks, we've met those people before, haven't we? You've met them maybe out soul winning, you know? how are you? Welcome to church. Oh, I went to church one time. Well, why don't you go to church anymore? Well, somebody at that church did something to me. You know what? Even today is my complaint bitter. That's those people, bitterness, bitter towards God. Boy, bitter towards somebody. But the truth is, I'm talking about us right now. I'm not talking about them. What is the challenge for us? Well, here's a man named Job, and you know what his final words were? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That was his version of it. He said, well, I got a lot of things to complain about, and he really did. He really did, more than you and I. Okay? He had to wake. I don't know what it's like to have boils so much that I can't even sit down. Okay? I don't know what it's like to lose all of my earthly possessions all at once. I don't know what it was like to lose all my children. And you know, the truth is, some of you can stop and relate and say, well, I lost this person, and this thing, and this thing, and this bad thing happened to me, and this bad thing happened to me. And you know what you're doing? You're counting your complaints instead of your blessings. And here Job says, I trust him. I don't understand it, but I trust him. A lot like the psalmist, he does the right thing. He complains verbally to God. Is it right to do? I don't think so, but the truth is, it's natural. It's very natural to complain to the Lord. But at the same time, he says, Lord, you do know. You know better. I'm trusting you, putting my hands in yours. Okay? So listen, you got to be careful that this matter of complaining. Okay? Number four, here's why God doesn't like complaining. We already read this, so we won't spend a lot of time on it. But in Numbers 14, you read the story. Number four, God hates complaining because God deals personally with those who complain against the chosen leaders. God deals personally with those who complain against the chosen leaders. Now listen, we're not talking about, we'll get into that, we're not talking about a specific, hey listen, if there's an issue that you have and the pastor has and you guys have an issue, the Bible tells you how to handle that. First, you go to him and say, Pastor, I don't understand this. Hey listen, if you got an issue with Brother Young, you probably should come tell me about it. Right. It's up to me to react right, okay? Don't sit at home complaining about it. Okay, that's what the children of Israel did. And if you read that story, the sons of Korah and that whole thing, remember what Korah did? Korah walked up and said, well, you know, Mr. Moses, you're not the only one who's holy. You're not the only one who's a good Christian. You're not the... Listen, that's a dangerous ground to get on. Because here in this matter of complaining, God sees that in my... And this is where, in my life, I got to stop and think, okay, in my day-to-day conversation, in the way I talk about things, am I subtly complaining about something I shouldn't complain about? And the truth is, we all, if we stopped it this week, we probably have done that. And I hope that we haven't done it towards the man of God. I hope we haven't done it towards the leader. Listen, this is applicable to your work. And I know, you know, the boss at work, he may be an unsaved man. But the truth is, he's your boss. At your workplace. You know the best way to be a best worker? Don't complain about it. All right? You got to find another way into that. Listen, you can go to God about it, okay? Amen. So if there's an issue, Korah, you shouldn't have gone to Moses with an already preconceived... By the way, Moses wasn't the first person he talked to. Study that story. He had a whole army of, you know, people. He had a whole family members. He went to his family first. Hey, listen, folks, the easiest people to complain to is our family because they're right there. They're close by. You feel like they understand you. Listen, men, the easiest person on accident to complain to is our wives. Ladies, the easiest person for you to poison with your complaining is your husband. You got to watch that stuff. Because the truth is, it's not about, we'll talk about this later, I'll say it now, ready? The problem isn't that there's a disagreement, it's the manner of your disagreement, okay? The problem isn't that there's a bad thing, it's the way you handle that bad thing. That's the definition of complaining. Remember Theodore Roosevelt, he said, complaining without a solution and trying to do anything is just whining. Okay? That's a pretty applicable statement because sometimes I'll complain about something with no real desire to fix it, and then all I am doing is sinning. You know, if I walk into my wife and say, honey, this is horrible, go study Ahab. That worked really great. Okay? Now, he was unsaved, and she was really unsaved. Okay? And I don't know if you could be more unsaved, but those two were... bad pair for each other. But Ahab walked in, honey, I can't get this. She goes and kills people for it, all right? Hey, listen, you know what, though? I know we're removed from that with salvation, but the truth is, the same principle can play out in our own lives. And that's the last thing I want to happen to my marriage, is that I would ruin my wife and she would ruin me because of a complaint because of issues, because of the way I handled it. And especially in this matter right here, I don't want to be Korah. I don't want my kids to end up with that same problem because I complained to my wife and she complained to her sister. And pretty soon this little group of people in these tents over here are murmuring about Moses. And you know what happens? God opens up the earth and sucks them all down, all right? Not a good thing. But listen, parents, we need to watch what a little critiquing will do. A little gossiping on our end. Hey, listen, well, I'm not complaining. I'm just critiquing something. I'm not complaining. I'm just passing along some information, okay? Well, and there is, listen, there's a point. This is where us Christians, we justify. This is the killer sin right here. We justify it over here with a little bit of, well, it's not a big deal. But our kids don't know any better. So they come over here and they hear, well, mom and dad talked about him. And mom and dad pointed out that thing. So instead, you know what they do? They flat out just criticize. They go from critiquing, which might be okay, to criticizing, which is a bad idea. They go from maybe a little bit of, by the way, gossip's never good, so I don't know what to call this over here, a little bit of information that you're too free with, and over here, they're flat out gossiping about the leaders of the church and the adults in the church. You better be careful because you're going to end up with a Korah situation. And God deals personally with those. He deals personally. Hey, listen, here's the step to that. Ready? If there's an issue, go talk to him. Hey, if there's a deeper issue, talk to God. Talk to God. You know what? And this is husbands and wives and moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas. We just got to be careful over here. And the truth is, you've all been there. I'm some of you are past this age. I'm kind of to that. You know, we get lazy driving the car and your kid's only 3, 4 and, you know, 2. They're not understanding a word you're saying. But you got in a real bad habit of driving the car with a 3, 4, and 2 saying whatever you want. And now you're over here driving with a 14, 13, and 12. And you've been saying whatever you want for 10 years. And now you wonder why they got an issue at school. And you wonder why when they turn 18, they don't want to stay here. Well, part of it is because of that. Let's be careful about that. Boy, we got to talk to God about it, okay? Number 5 and 6, and we're done. Ready? Complaining. God hates complaining for this reason. Complaining shifts things away from personal responsibility. That's just the world we live in. We won't even stay on this much. That started with the first two people, Adam and Eve. God said, what'd you do? Well, the woman you gave me, she did it. What'd you do, Eve? Well, the serpent. You know what they just did? Shifted the personal responsibility away. And the truth is, most people you meet in the world, when they're complaining, most of the time, they're shifting that personal responsibility to somebody else. And we got a whole world that, hey, listen, in the church pews, some people just shift it. And pretty soon, something that really that guy back there really did do ends up over here, and nobody knows how because it just got shifted around. Okay? Well, it's so-and-so's fault and so-and-so's fault, and if they hadn't have done this and this and that, you know what that is? Just take personal responsibility. You know, complaining would stop. You know, if I hear somebody complain about me, okay, and you would actually come tell me, I mean, really, it might hurt my feelings, okay? But if you wanted to complain about something, you actually said, why don't I ever see you do this? Well, at least you said it to my face, and I have a choice now. I can say, well, I didn't do that, and we could have an argument. That's a different topic, okay? Different message. Or, or I could say, you know what, I'm sorry, you're right. You know what I just did? Ended it. Yeah. I ended it. Because I said, you're right, that's my fault. Personal responsibility. I'll take that. By the way, I've seen good pastors and good men take some personal responsibility and kind of take the blame for some stuff that they probably shouldn't have had to. All right. But they saw it shifting through their church and they said, all right, I'm gonna figure out a way to try to end this. Okay? But it wouldn't have started anyway if you just stopped complaining about it. Hey, listen, don't be a victim. That's all I have to say about that one. That was a bonus point, all right? Point number 6, you ready? Complaining leaves a bad testimony. Complaining leaves a bad testimony. This is probably the most hurtful of all. I mean, they're all hurtful, but in the end, you end up being labeled as a complainer. You will be labeled as a complainer. Hey, listen, in the church here, if I actually sat down with everybody in a private room and said, tell me one complainer in our church, you know, almost everybody could come up with someone's name. Hopefully not.
I hope not.
But the truth is, if I said name the complainer of the church, probably all of you would have somebody higher on the list, even if it's yourself. You know, you probably wouldn't if you're the complainer of the church, all right? Personal responsibility, remember that? Okay. But the truth is, and the best church members would say, oh, man, I complained about something last week. That's my bad, right? That's personal responsibility. And by the way, I hope that kind of would be most people's answer. You know what? You're right. I'm the chief of sinners, said Paul. I'm the chief complainer at times. Okay, I'm the chief analyzer / complainer that disguises it as opinion. Okay, I'm opinion giver. Okay, whatever it is you're disguising it as, tear those disguises off and just say, you know what? I really just need to keep my mouth shut and stop complaining. Because you know what it does? It leaves a bad testimony. Hey, none of the great heroes that you've ever read about were known as complainers. None of the great preachers you've ever heard of were known as complainers. None of the great missionaries that you hear stories about were complainers. Are there missionaries that are complainers? Yes, but they're not on the mission field anymore, or they soon won't be. You know why? That doesn't lead to a service. It doesn't lead to a lifetime of serving the Lord. You want to be a has-been church member? Keep complaining. You'll be Cora soon. Okay? God might not suck up the earth and, you know, ruin your family that way, but you will ruin your personal testimony. And the truth is, none of the people that we remember for the Lord, you know what? I wrote it down in here, but one of the killers of complaining was Job, but the other one's Jesus. Okay? Jesus didn't complain about it. He had plenty of reasons to complain. In fact, the worst thing he said, which wasn't even a sin, was, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, I don't want to have it, but I know I'm going to do it because I'm not going to complain about it. And he died for my sins because of that. So, I mean, I don't have any excuse. And the truth is, you know, a good way to get over the complaining, and, you know, you want your kids to be great missionaries. You know, you got kids that surrender to preach and be a missionary, and I'm happy when I hear all that, but you know what? I pray for them extra hard if honestly, and this sounds horrible, but, you know, there were kids who were going to school with me, and you know, they would surrender to be a missionary or a preacher, and I looked at their family, and I thought, oh, boy, I'm going to pray for that kid. You know why? Mom and Dad were big-time complainers. Everybody knew it. Here's this kid trying to surrender to be a preacher, and you know what? A lot of that rubs off onto Junior. And I'm not saying some of them didn't end up turning out good, but the odds were very hard against them because of the heritage that they received in complaining. Hey, God expects us, think about it, God expects us as Christians to be the example for how to handle difficult situations. Why should they walk into a Christian funeral and it be different? Because we should know how to handle it. Why should they walk into your workplace and see something different about you? Because you should know how to handle it without complaining. Okay? It doesn't mean that hard times don't come. It doesn't even mean that sometimes we don't fall every once in a while and verbalize our opinion. And you know what? It doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about certain things. You know what? If you asked me about the politics and this man and this man and this leader and this leader, I would tell you what I think. Now, sometimes that would be just what I think, and sometimes it's a well-founded biblical opinion. And there's nothing wrong with giving that when it's time. But the truth is, you know what? Everybody else complains about COVID, so I'm going to complain about COVID. Everybody else complains about Joe Biden, so I'm going to complain about Joe Biden. All right? Everybody else complains about inflation. Everybody else complains about, hey, listen, I know that's silly stuff, but the truth is, how's it helping your Christian testimony? Right. You fit in real well with the work crowd, don't you? Right. Because now, you're in the same boat. Hey, listen, I just stop and I think this. Wonder how many opportunities I missed to witness to somebody because of my complaining spirit. Whether that was verbally and they knew it, or whether it was just in here. You ever been soul winning with something in here you shouldn't have had? You ever tried to do something for the Lord and the truth is, you still had some baggage you were carrying around all that day? Maybe it was something, think about how many times the devil just sent one thing into your life just to see if it would bother you all day. Okay? And ladies, gentlemen, whatever it might be. You know, what did God send it? What did... You know, God allows everything, but sometimes, you know what? He allows it, the devil allows it. I don't know who gets involved in it, but it doesn't matter. Either way, something happens to me, and I can either complain about it, or I can say, well, here we go. All right, Lord, thanks. I thank you for bringing me through it. The truth is, we don't, even in calamity, even in problems, note the difference here. Just because we have a disagreement, just because a trouble happens, it's not about the trouble or the disagreement. It's about how we handle it. It's about how we handle it. Hey, listen. If I have a spirit of humility and need and a desire, and I come to God and say, Lord, I don't understand this, I need your help, he wants to help with that. That's not a complaining spirit, that's a needful spirit. And God hears that word, the Bible word complaint, isn't always bad. When Job talks about my complaint was brought before God, he sometimes was doing what was right, bringing his need to God, but his spirit was different. Whereas most of the time, if you study it out, the children of Israel, you know, complaint wasn't brought correctly. It wasn't taken care of right. Hey, how do we do this? Go to Psalms 78 and we'll be done. Psalm 78. How do I avoid these? There's so many ways to go with this, but how do I avoid these seven cliffs? How do I avoid them? Well, number one, just think of the opposite, you know. Complaining is the opposite of thanksgiving. Be thankful. Right. Complaining poisons your attitude. It reveals your lack of trust in God. It is dealt personally if you complain and talk about and murmur about leaders and godly people in your life. Hey, you got to start taking personal responsibility. Complaining shifts it away. And complaining is going to ruin your testimony forever. How do we get over that? How do we not do that? Look at Psalm 78. The whole psalm is good. But if you look right there in the... Psalms, not 78, right above that. Psalm 77, verse 10. Psalm 77, verse 10. If you read through Psalm 77, he talks, I am troubled and can't speak. I commune with my heart, and why does the Lord cast me off? But look right there, Psalm 77, 10. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You ever find yourself complaining about something? Do these things. You ready? Remember the blessings of God. Amen. Remember the blessings of God. When you are discouraged, when you're discontent, when you don't have any blessings, you feel like life's going against you, that little song, Count Your Many Blessings, yes, sir, actually does work. And he says here, notice that declaration, I will. That's a decision, by the way. Right. I will. Complaining is a decision, but so is this, remembering the Lord's goodness. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. You remember, listen, the easiest way to do it is start back and go when the day you got saved. That's the first time. That's the first real good blessing you got, yes, from God. Just going to say that. I know all the other stuff he could have given you is nice, but the day you got saved is the most important thing you can remember. Stop and remember the blessings of the Lord. Hey, listen, number two, think about what he's allowed you to do and what he's done for you. That's what he said. I will remember the works of the Lord. Okay? Surely I will meditate also of thy work. I will think about it. I'm going to stop and think about it. Hey, listen, if your thoughts are going the wrong direction, you and your friends are talking about it, you need to stop and think about something different. Okay? Hey, you know what the last thing he does? And this is where we're guilty sometimes. We get complaining when we stop doing things for the Lord that we should do. I know we can remember it. I know we can think about it. We also got to go do something about it. Because right here, he says, verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. You know what that means? He's going out and telling people about the Lord. Right. Hey, listen, you become a pretty good complainer if you stop going soul winning. You become a pretty good complainer if you stop talking about the Lord. And all of a sudden, you know what I've found? I've found the times when I'm the most complaining and the most kind of selfish is when it's been a while since I've actually gone out and handed somebody a tract and said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus, what he did for me. And so here we find these seven pitfalls. Let's stay away from them. Hey, listen, this VBS, I know, guess what? Tomorrow night, let me just tell you, something's going to go wrong. I don't know what it is, but something will. Okay, on your bus, somebody's going to say something they shouldn't. Okay, somebody's going to offend you this week. Somebody's going to ignore you this week. Brother Young won't shake your hand. All right, maybe nobody cares about that anymore. All right, I'm going to complain about that right now. You know, hey, listen, you better be careful. You can find a reason to. You will find a reason to complain. It's the easiest thing to do. But you know what? I would challenge you this week. Not only would I challenge you to think about those seven things, but also think about your disguised complaining. Think about the disguised complaining, because you know what? We've all fallen into that trap sometimes. I'm just saying. I'm just giving my opinion. Hey, well, listen, watch it. Watch it. In everything, give thanks. Hey, listen, let's praise the Lord a little bit more this week. Let's rejoice in what the Lord's done. We should be going back on 50 years celebrating it. Don't forget that. Okay, don't forget the anniversary meeting we just had. Don't miss VBS week. By the way, when VBS week is over, get you a list of those kids who got saved. Just go ask Brother Gordon or somebody and say, hey, can I have a list of all the kids? This would be awesome. All the kids who got saved this week so I can pray for them. Hey, listen, go get a list of the visitors. Go get a list of, you know what, if we would just get, a lot of it is selfishness. If we would just get our mind off of ourselves, boy, we'd be a lot happier and we would complain a lot less. Let's watch out for these pitfalls, because I think Brother Clancy mentioned this. If you can go back real quick to his message he preached during that tent meeting. Remember the disciples and the bread and the miracles? And they didn't even consider it because they were so busy and busy and busy, and they just had forgot to stop and center themselves on what God wanted them to do, and they kind of got selfish. And you know what? Same thing happens with complaining. We get disguised. We get busy. We get running here and there. There's so many camps. There's so many conferences. There's so much to do, Brother Young. I know. But you know what? Let's not complain about it. Let's be thankful for it. Let's find a way to find the joy in those moments. I know some moments are going to be hard and some things are going to be rough. You know what? If you really need to compare yourself, just go compare yourself to Jesus. Because He's the only one we can compare ourselves to. And you'll always fall short. And you'll always have it. You know what? He's given you so much. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, I don't want to be known as a complainer. Lord, I don't even want to harbor that in my home. I don't want to harbor it behind things that seem okay. Lord, please help us to just do some examining this week in our own heart and mind. Lord, help guard our speech and our words. Lord, help us not to use those things against the people in our own church. Lord, we're on the same team. We love You, but Lord, help us to make sure we're doing that this week. Help us to draw nigh to You so You can draw nigh to us. Because of that, we can become the best VBS team. We can become the best church. We can work together the best that we can because we love You and want to serve You. So help us to stay away from these pitfalls, these things that would cause us to fall. Lord, honestly, things that would slowly eat at our own life and eventually end up in our destruction. I pray that that wouldn't happen in my life or anybody in here. In Jesus' name, amen.